Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I am glad you are here discovering who God is. Christmas, this wonderful time of the year when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, is fast approaching, and it is my conviction that we need to lift our eyes and ears, our hearts and our minds, our souls and our bodies above the noise and the chaos of this busy world, so that we can dwell on the person of Christ, specifically Christ who is King. He is the King, and we worship Him alone. Let us exalt Him. I hope you will continue with us in this second chapter of Matthew, covering just 3 verses. And as usual with the Scripture, these verses are packed with significance. Thus far, we have discovered the coordinates and the contrasting kings. And now let's move forward and discover the coming of the Magi. The coordinates are the locations in which this story takes place. We laid those out on a mental map in our minds. The contrasting kings are Herod and Jesus. Herod is the human king. Jesus is the God king. We talked about Herod, and we'll come to Jesus in greater detail soon. So those are the coordinates and the contrasting kings, and now the coming of the Magi. If you are into outlines and alliteration, there you have it. The coordinates, the contrasting kings, and the coming of the Magi. I will read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, so you hear this mention of the Magi. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." There is very likely a good chance that you have heard of these Magi before. Perhaps you know them as the wise men. Well, I do not want to be the Grinch who stole Christmas. And while I myself am a sentimental kind of guy who gets very nostalgic and favors tradition, I must say the traditional way these Magi are defined in music, film, at the nativity sets, etc., is very unbiblical. All that we actually factually know about the Magi or the wise men is found here in Matthew's Gospel. The Bible is our source for the truth about who these Magi were, and we shall follow Scripture. Personally, I like the way the Word of God speaks of them much more than I do what the Christmas carols say. In the carol, "We Three Kings of Orient Are," we are told, "We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star." Well, they were not kings, and they were not only three. The idea of them being kings might be attributed to Old Testament prophecy, saying that kings will pay homage to the Messiah. But that is not the connection Matthew makes. The idea there were three of them comes from the three gifts the Magi did bring. Down in verse 11 of Matthew 2, we read, "After coming into the house, the Magi saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." The gold, frankincense, and myrrh are interpreted as meaning there were only three Magi, but not so. Oh no, I have disappointed you with facts. I hope I didn't take some of the shine off of Christmas this year. It is just that my job is to share with you what the Bible says, not what tradition embellishes. So let's get into the history of the Magi, but just before we do, I want to say why it is important for us to know about them and to learn from them in the way they respond to Christ, who is born King. Most of us who belong to this community, this radio and podcast family of God Is, we are Gentiles. We are not Jewish. I know some of you are Jewish, and I love that you are a part of this community. But for those of us who are not Jewish, we have something in common with the Magi. They were not Jews, but Gentiles. Please note that when they arrive in Jerusalem, they ask for He who has been born King of the Jews. They do not ask for He who has been born our King. The Magi are Gentiles, and therefore men who were excluded from the covenant of God with Israel. But furthermore, notice, they have been embraced by God, being given Christ's star in the east to follow. And when they arrive at the home of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, the Gentile Magi are welcomed straight in. They fall to the ground and worship Christ and present their gifts to Him who is King. This is great news for us Gentiles. God has a redemption plan for us also. As we embrace Jesus Christ as Lord, we are welcomed as members of the family of God. Further along in the Gospel of Matthew, we read the words of Jesus in chapter 25 and verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before Him. Him there is the Son of Man, Christ. Notice that all the nations will be gathered, Jews and Gentiles. And then, of course, there is the Great Commission as given by the Lord in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 that reads, Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus includes all nations. Jews and Gentiles are welcome to hear the gospel and to believe in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Again, all nations. So these Magi in Matthew chapter 2 are Gentiles, and they foretell of the coming of a multitude of Gentiles that will fall down at the feet of Jesus and worship Him as King. Why is it important for us to know about them and to seriously reflect on how they treated the one born King of the Jews? What is the motivation behind this part of our study? It is this. The Magi are Gentiles, just like most of us. And yet, they are very different from us. In terms of location, we learned that they came from the east. When we talked about the coordinates, I said we would circle back to the east, and here we are. In the Greek text, this word east literally means a rising, as in the rising of the sun. As we know, the sun rises in the east. You got it. And east of Jerusalem is a vast territory, but we deduce from the biblical text that the east from which the Magi came is Parthia, or Persia. Today, the country of Iran. And why do we deduce that? Well, in New Testament times, the Magi were known as the priestly political class of the Parthians. And the Parthians lived east of Palestine and Jerusalem. And you say, well, then they came a long way to find Jesus. Yes, they did. And that is another mythbuster I have for you today. In popular culture, the Magi or the wise men arrive when Jesus is in a manger or in a stable or in a feeding trough. That is not true. By the time these Magi get from Parthia, Persia, to Jerusalem, Jesus and his parents are in a house. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 again, after coming into the house, the Magi saw the child. You see, time has passed. The baby was born and was growing, and all the while the Magi were on the move from way over in the east. We have to read each gospel account on the birth of Christ carefully and set up the right timeline in our minds, assuming that we want to be biblical in our thinking. Well, Luke chapter 2 describes the angels appearing to the shepherds, and it is the shepherds who arrive quickly in Bethlehem after the birth of Christ, when the baby boy is still in the manger. But in Matthew chapter 2, his parents have moved Jesus from the manger to the house. So how is it that in every nativity set I have seen, there are always three wise men standing at the manger, or stable, or feeding trough? Here is why. Tradition built not on the Bible, but on a myth. And so how much time has passed between the manger of Luke 2 and the house of Matthew 2? I give this a time of about 6 months or so. So it is fair to say Jesus was 6 months old when the Magi bowed down before him in worship in the house where Jesus was then located. Well, they needed all that time to get from what is now Iran to what is still Jerusalem. Further evidence of this is found in the order of Herod to kill all male children under the age of 2. We talked about that. Why did Herod pick the age of 2? It is because he knew Jesus was under the age of 2. So by slaughtering all boys younger than 2 years old, surely Jesus would have been eliminated. While the Lord was well under that age, Herod the not-so-great hedged his bets. And I will have more on the Magi next time, Lord willing, on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.